So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Julie. I work here. It's a true story. And I want to talk to you today. Actually, I'm going to stand here because according to my son, you can't see me if I stand on the ground. So I want to start today with a scripture from John 10, verse 10. You probably know this one, some of you. The thief comes to kill, steal, destroy, or steal, kill, destroy, whichever order it is. But Jesus, he came that they may have life and have it in abundance, have it in fullness, depending which scripture you learnt. And there's a sense in that word, to have life and have it to its full. It's a sense of this abundance and this overflowing of life. But this verse isn't just about eternal future, and eternal life that's coming to us at some point. It's about living in the fullness of life right now. But Jesus is honest about living now. He says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And sometimes that thief can be shame or fear or trauma, even religious legalism. Actually, in the context of this verse, I don't even know why I said even, it is religious legalism that has caused the people to not have life in its full. But the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit reverses that damage. Where the thief steals, the Spirit restores. Where the thief kills, the Spirit breathes new life. Where the thief destroys, the Spirit rebuilds. The Spirit enables us to live abundantly now, not by removing all of the struggle, but by transforming us in the midst of it and bringing, creating new life in us. But if Jesus promised the fullness of life now, how is that possible? Well, I did just tell you. So you don't have to wait 10 weeks. We could get the answer now, which is that Jesus is, we're enabled to live a fullness of life because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the Spirit who fills us and the empowering of Jesus who dwells in you. We love the stories of Jesus, don't we? Yeah, we're drawn to those stories because they show us what fullness of life really looks like. But those stories don't happen in isolation. They happen because Jesus lived in a close relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. At the baptism, the Spirit came upon Jesus, and from then on, Jesus lived immersed in that relationship, right? Doing only what the Father showed him. And here's the incredible thing. We've been drawn into that same relationship. We don't just observe and admire Jesus living a full life and an abundant life. We share in it. We're drawn in it. The Father still speaks, still leads, still empowers us, and now through his Spirit in us. We live the abundant life when we live as Jesus did, drawing daily from the Spirit and walking in step with the Father's will. Because at its heart, abundant life is relational with the Father who loves you, with the Son who saves you, with the Spirit who lives in you, and with the people around you, the ones you're called to love and live and serve and forgive and walk alongside. But if you're honest, is relationship what you pictured when you heard Jesus say, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full"? I wonder if our picture of life to the full is sometimes quite different from Jesus's. When we hear abundant life, let me speak for myself here, okay? when I hear abundant life, what I think is, I mean, you might be better than me, but I think of my needs being met, my family protected, my plans succeeding, and my comfort increasing. And to be honest, most of my prayers, I can say maybe our prayers, reflect that. Help me, God, get through this week. Help me, God, to sleep. Provide me, Lord God, with the things that I need. And Jesus cares about those things. He really does. But is that all he meant? If we took a quick survey and asked, what does abundant life in the spirit look like? I think we would probably hear words like health, finances, stability, strength, ability, capability. And again, these are not bad things. But if we stop there, if we say, I'm okay now, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm immersed in this incredible relationship with the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit and God's people, when I feel like relating to God's people, I'm blessed with opportunities and resources, I'm living a full life. Is that really what Jesus meant when he said that we were to have life and have it full? Because honestly, that feels so small. It feels like a version of abundance, an abundant life shaped more by consumerism than by the kingdom. Come on, let's like face facts, right? We live in a culture that says Australia first, America first, me first, everything first. But that's not the way of the kingdom. That is not life. That's not abundant life. That's not what an abundant life looks like. And if we keep it at this level, just me, my needs, my faith, my bubble, then maybe the thief has already done his work. See, if it stays at that level, then the thief has stolen the kingdom's vision. He's killed our sense of calling. He's quietly destroyed what church was meant to be. The abundant life Jesus talks about is bigger than me and my family. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Who is the they that Jesus is talking about? Because this verse is for them, whoever they are. When Jesus said these words, it comes in the middle of a much bigger story John was telling. Do you remember I said that the verse was John 10, verse 10? That's John's gospel. He's telling the story and he tells this big picture story. And into that big picture story, he puts this one verse. And into that scenario, John places Jesus' words, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So who are the they? What has just happened for Jesus to say this? Well, Jesus had healed a man born blind, and instead of celebrating, the religious leaders had thrown the man out of the synagogue. That man was excluded from the faith community. So who are the they? Not just the ones who are inside the faith community, who know what it is and what Jesus has done for us, but those who are on the edges, those who've been shut out, those who've been told that they do not belong. In that bigger story, Jesus is saying, I will look after them because I am the good shepherd. And I've not come to control people. See, in that story, the religious leaders were telling the blind man what he could and couldn't believe. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. This is what you should believe. This is what you shouldn't believe. That's his son come here to control people. And it didn't come to shut people out. But I did come to bring them life. Jesus imagined fullness of life as something that we experience together. Not just me and my family, but all the families down my street. Not just my church, but our whole suburb. Not just the ones who ask for help, but the ones who have given up asking us for help. We're called, church, to be conduits of this abundant life, not containers. Can I say that again? Because I think if we're honest, as a church and as individuals, we can get stuck in a place where we are containing. Oh, I'm so grateful. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm so grateful for everything that God has poured into me, myself, and I. But I'm not meant to be a container of all of that. It's supposed to be a conduit that goes beyond. Jesus chose us. Church, Jesus chose us. Look at us. Spirit-filled, grace-carried, often still being transformed, not quite there yet, people, to be part of the fulfillment of this promise. But here's the problem. If we think that the fulfillment of life, the fulfillment of the fullness of life, you try saying that, fulfillment of the fullness of life is based on our assets, it's based on our health, it's based on how happy we are or how happy our family is, then what happens when we lose just one of those things? What happens when the economy crashes and you lose all your money, like Daniel and I did in the global financial crisis? Am I no longer living in the abundance of life that Jesus promised? What happens when your health fails? When your kids are struggling and you cannot fix them? And that's the reality of life. Even in the most faithful homes. And you know what else? Even if you do have money or security, you can spend your whole life trying to not to lose it or chasing more money so you've got a bit extra just in case you lose it. Fullness of life is very fragile when it's asset-based. But here is what is consistent or could be consistent in our lives. Abundant life is wherever the Holy Spirit is present and active. That's the key. It's not about financial fullness of life, is not about financial security or health or success. It is about the presence of the Spirit in your life and the assurance that brings. Church, assurance, not assets. Assurance that God is who he says he is. Assurance that hopes in the midst of all of the worries. And that assurance causes us to respond to life with joy and peace and self-control and kindness and gentleness instead of snappy anxiety and fear. Or at least it should. So I went to a training day on Friday and I met Stephen Spence in the car park. He took one look and said at my face and went, "What's the matter with you?" And I went, and he translated that and looked at me and went, "Aren't you speaking on fullness of life on Sunday?" To which I said, shut up. Okay, because I didn't draw on the presence of the Spirit. I didn't. I responded with that snappy anxiety and judgment and all the rest of it. Yeah. And I did not respond with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or self-control. Oh, and gentleness. None of that responded when I said shut up, which I possibly said to him again in the kitchen just a moment ago. Anyway, because it's so unlike me. I know, but here's the thing. Think about that, right? And you decide what is more attractive. Me responding, shut up, Stephen. Or if we were to respond, if I could have responded, if we could remember that I live in the presence of Jesus and God is with me, responding with love and self-control, patience. That response, Holy Spirit response, that's really attractive, isn't it? It's really attractive. Do you know what, church? In a world where so many of our friends and our family and our people are shoring up their lives with asset-based security, there is something genuinely attractive when someone or about someone who walks in calm confidence, whose life is not built on assets and abilities, but on presence and relationship. That's what draws them. That's what makes life in Christ compelling. That's what makes the kingdom visible. The promise of life is not just a whisper of heaven someday. It's the kingdom of God breaking into today. The good thing about Friday was that we went to this training day and we had a moment. They were teaching us how to do Bible study. And they said, rather than tell us, do it. And in that moment of sitting down with the word of God, the kingdom of God broke into my life. And I thought, do you know what? Jesus is always one step ahead of us. Jesus is always there. And, you know, that change happened. Why? Because the kingdom of God, because Jesus broke into my, I haven't got the capacity, my asset-based world and revealed himself. And I'm like, okay, back in the right space again. That's what makes the kingdom of God visible. That's when the kingdom of heaven breaks into today. And yes, the thief still comes with shame that silences and fear that shrinks us and trauma that lingers. But the Spirit comes too to restore what is stolen, to breathe again when breath is lost, to rebuild what we thought was beyond repair. We are not spectators in Jesus' story. We're drawn into it. We are baptized into his life, caught up in that current of flowing love from the Father to the Son through the Spirit. This is the full life that overflows, not measured in assets, but it is measured in assurance, not limited to me and mine, but widened to they, the outsider, the overlook, the one still hoping someone will say, you belong and you belong in my church family. Don't settle for the smaller story. Oh God, let it be that we don't settle for the smaller story. Don't shrink the kingdom to fit inside your bank account or your calendar. Be a conduit, not a container. Let his life flow through you with kindness and joy. So today, church, there's an invitation from the Spirit to receive that life. Live that life. And that life, that overflowing, radical, relational, resilient life is what will draw the world to Jesus. As Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. 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 Well, okay, we have a few minutes before we start our meeting. So do you want them back here by 11? Well, that's what I was saying, you and your...
Well, I just know how long you
normally... I'm not repeating that. Can we all get back here for 10 to? Yeah, and we can get through a what type of meeting? Quick meeting, because we all want to go and...
eat.